You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into this Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. I hope you guys enjoyed that Thursday show. It felt good to talk about a win for once. The Grizzlies haven't, it's been a long time since we've talked about a win. It feels like we've been talking about just a lot of crazy stuff the past week and a half, almost 2 weeks now. But the Grizzlies got back on the right side of things on Wednesday night and were able to get a win over the Spurs. Not only do they get a win over the Spurs, but they get a win over their, one of the divisional opponents, and that's just as good. Got a great show for you guys today. We're going to talk about this Grizzlies Heat game that's coming up on Saturday, and then in the last segment of the show, I talk with John Roser from Grind City Media. He joins the show to talk about that win from Wednesday, kind of how they can carry those things into the Heat game, and really what they're what they did well from that win on Wednesday night. So, but we're going to start the show by talking about this Miami Heat game that's coming up on Saturday. Kind of an early tip, 5 o'clock. It's at Miami. The Grizzlies have already played the Heat once. We'll just go a little bit about what that kind of what that loss was to the Heat last time they played in FedEx Forum. The last time they played, the Heat won 100-97 in the FedEx Forum. You know, this game that they lost to the Heat earlier this year, you know, it was about bench play. I mean, let's be honest. Like the game that Mike Conley delivered. In that last game, 22 points, 8 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals, 3 blocks. That's a heck of a stat line for Mike Conley. He was 7 for 15 from the field, 2 for 4 from 3-point. Marc Gasol was 14 points, 5 assists, 7 rebounds. I mean, those guys were pretty good. I mean, Garrett Temple, 15 points. Jaren Jackson Jr., 15 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, a block. Kyle Anderson, 8 points, 2 rebounds, a block. I mean, the starting unit for the Grizzlies on that last game were pretty good. But then you look down at the bench and you have Shelvin Mack with 7 points, Jamaica Green with 7 points, Marshawn Brooks with 4 points, Joakim Noah with 5 points, Wayne Selden with 0, Omri Katz with 0, Wayne Selden in 11 minutes and 0 points, Omri in 5 minutes and 0 points. Just something you can't happen. I mean, the Grizzlies don't need the bench to score 50 points a night. I mean, you're looking at like 25 to 30 points, and you're pretty much good. I mean, that's really all you need from this bench play. And you look at that game on against the Spurs on Wednesday, you get 10 from Mac, 10 from Jermichael. I'm just going off memory here. And then you get 4 or 5 for a few others. I mean, I think it was about 30 points is what you got. 30 to 32 points is what you got from the bench play on Wednesday. And that's really all you need from the Grizzlies bench. You don't need to come out here and just do serious damage. But you look on the opposite side of that, that last game for the Heat, you let Tyler Johnson score 17 points off the bench. You let Kelly Olynyk score 18 points off the bench. You let Derrick Jones score 13 points off the bench. I mean, just really, you just really can't have that. I mean, you look at the starters for the Heat, Josh Richardson, 18 points. James Johnson, 12 points. You know, beyond that, there wasn't much there for their starters. So for the Grizzlies, you know, they really held their starters to a negligible point differential in that first game. But in the bench where this where they gave up so many points, and that's really what you can't have happen with this Heat team. You can't let their bench go off. You can't let Kelly Olynyk shoot 4 from 7 from three. That's just stupid. And same thing with Tyler Johnson. Tyler Johnson shoots 4 from 7 from 3 in that last game. Again, Grizzlies lose that last game of 100-97. The Heat are not a great team. The Heat are not, by all means, they're not a great team. They're a very average team. I'd say they're about as good as the Grizzlies. They are a very average team. And the Grizzlies largely had that game in hand. You look at the box score by quarter on that last game, Miami, Memphis, the first quarter, 29-28 Miami, 22-21 Miami in the second, 20-24 Memphis in the third, and 29-24 in the fourth. I mean, you know, they didn't really have a terrible quarter. I mean, they got outscored in the fourth by 4. I mean, that fourth quarter is really kind of what sealed it, but you know, that game, you had some guys play not great defense, which is really what it boiled down to in the end of the night. But really, you get a few stops, and that's probably that's a different outcome for the Grizzlies. So it's not like this. It's not like this Heat game they're going into is not a winnable game. It's a very winnable game for the Grizzlies, and I think they should treat it as such. You said outside of a few defensive misses in that last game for the Heat Grizzlies, there isn't a lot there. So the Grizzlies are really, like I said, this is about bench play for them. This is about when they come into the game. When you have all bench lineup, and now it's a completely different bench lineup with Holiday, no Dylan Brooks, no Marshawn, no Wayne. It's a different look from what they were given last time. But you're going to come in with Holiday. It's probably going to be the fresh guy off the bench, Jamaica Green, obviously, and then probably, I'm guessing, Shelvin Mack now with the Javon Carter thing is probably with the way Shelvin Mack played. I would be surprised if he didn't get the call as the backup point guard for Saturday. Then you have Amir Kasmi who plays good minutes. I think beyond those four guys, I think you're probably fine. I think, you know, you need eight or nine, maybe if one of them goes off, scores 13. I mean, you know, as long as you score 25 or 30 points out of your backup, your bench, I think you're okay. They'll probably play Joakim Noah, although I'd argue they don't need to, but they probably will play Joakim Noah at least 8 or 9 minutes. And hopefully that won't be too detrimental to the team. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and continue to talk about this game coming up for the Grizzlies on Saturday against the Heat. And then in that third segment, like I said, John Roser from Grind City Media joins the show in that third segment to talk all things Grizzlies. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the show. I just want to continue this conversation about the Grizzlies Heat game and what the Grizzlies need to do to be able to keep that win streak going and make it from 1-2 and make it a just as exciting show on Monday, because I love talking about wins. Everybody does. And so the Grizzlies, you know, the beyond the bench play, Marc Gasol. I mean, as we talked about last show, Marc Gasol, it is not a coincidence that Marc Gasol plays good and this Grizzly team wins. Those things are very much related and are very much something that they have to do. Marc Gasol has got to be out there and not necessarily just, he's got to be engaged. He's got to be emotionally engaged on the defense. He's got to be emotionally engaged on the offense. And that's what Marc Gasol has to do every night. I mean, you saw it at the beginning of the year. He was rebounding the ball at crazy rate. He was scoring at 25, 26 points a game. He had a couple 30-point games, rebounding the ball, 13, 12, 14-point rebounds a game. I mean, things that he had never done before. But if the Grizzlies want to win, he's got to get back to that. And hopefully Mike Conley can get back on the right side of things as well, because he was not great in that game against the Spurs. But if you continue to be aggressive like that with Mike Conley, then good things are going to happen. Great things are going to happen, especially if Mark and Mike are both aggressive like that. You look at the Heat, they're not great in any category stat-wise that you can really just point out to. They're average in a lot of things. They're at the bottom of the league and just field goal percentage. They're 28th in the league in field goal percentage. They're average on three-point percentage. They're 14th in three-pointers made, and then they're 15th in percentage three-pointers made. So not great, but not bad either, average. And it's not like they don't have good three-point shooters. Josh Richardson is a good three-point shooter. Tyler Johnson is a good three-point shooter. Kelly Olynyk is a good three-point shooter. They have guys that can make shots. So the Grizzlies are really going to have to stay up on their perimeter defense. And hopefully that look that we saw against the Spurs, where Mark was playing higher up in the screen, not allowing that pick guy to turn the corner and be able to see the court very well. As long as he continues that, like they got back to what they were doing earlier in the year. As long as they kind of get back to that and they close out shooters better, I think they'll be okay. But they can't allow three-pointers, because even that Spurs win, they still allowed the Spurs to shoot 40% from three. Not great. Like I said on Twitter, By no means did everything get fixed magically against the Spurs. It was a win, and that's awesome. But there are still problems this team has to address. And defensive scheme, offensive scheme, there are problems that this Grizzlies team has to address if they want to continue to win ball games. And so the biggest priority, the biggest detriment to this team over the past 2 weeks has been perimeter defense. And so, again, this Heat team has guys that can make shots. They can't over-rotate. They can't over-help. They have to stay with their man when they're supposed to stay with their man, and they have to rotate to the spot better, quicker. Something we saw in the Heat game, they were rotating to the spot quicker than they had been in previous games. They were getting there before the offensive player was allowed to get there. So this Heat team is not a great three-point shooting team, but they're not terrible either. Beyond that, the best thing they do is offensive rebound. You have someone like Hassan Whiteside averaging 12 points, 12 boards, almost 13 boards, and almost 4 offensive rebounds a game. So you have someone like Hassan Whiteside, you're really going to have to do a good job of keeping him off the boards, something I think they were able to do pretty well in that last game, keeping Hassan Whiteside to only 6 points and 7 boards. Something they have to continue to do. Mark will have to be able to make sure he stays off the offensive rebound so that they don't get second chance points. The other thing they do well is obviously block shots. It goes right along with Hassan Whiteside and rebounding the ball. They do a really good job of blocking shots. They're 6th in the league in block shots per game. So those are the couple things that stick out to me stat-wise for this Heat game or Heat team that they're going to have to do well and, you know, kind of stopping, slowing down. The other thing the Grizzlies have to do well is get out and transition. Something they were doing great in earlier in the season was stealing the ball, causing turnovers, whether steals, blocks, whatever, causing turnovers, getting out in transition, getting easy buckets. Because this team obviously struggles to score, has struggled to score this entire year. That's something that we've talked about the whole year. And so something that was underrated in that Spurs win, something that we didn't even really talk about on the show, was 15 or 16 turnovers, I think, against the Spurs to like 15 or 16 turnovers, I think, for like 23 or 24 points. That's huge for the Grizzlies. That's something they have to get back to defensively if they're going to be able to win these games. That's something that creates easy offense for the Grizzlies. That's something they were doing very, very well earlier in the year. That's something they haven't done well as of late. So I think that's something that I don't think I even mentioned against that after that Spurs win, but something that you want to look for. If they're causing the Heat to turn the ball over at a high turnover percentage, you know, and they're creating offense out of that, that goes a long way to helping this Grizzlies team that struggles to score the ball sometimes. But I think if they can do those things, if they can, obviously they're gonna have Mike and Mark playing well, you know, even if they do allow three-point percentage, if they have Mike Mark playing well, even if they do allow a high three-point percentage, you'll be okay because those guys can seemingly overcome a lot of that. But perimeter defense, creating turnovers, Mike and Mark, and the bench play. Those are the things you're going to have to look out for against this Heat team to get another win and turn one win into two wins. But coming up next, we're going to talk to John Roser from Grind City Media. He joins the show and gives me his thoughts on the Grizzlies after that win and how they can continue this win streak. So enjoy that conversation. Welcome back to the show. Have John Roser of Grind City Media joining me tonight as we record this show, all as usual, the night before we actually launched the show. John, thanks for joining me, man.
Yeah, Mark, appreciate you having me, man.
First appearance on Locked On Grizzlies, man. It's hopefully it'll be one of many, but want to get you on. Want to talk about this Grizzlies. Grizzlies finally win again for what seems like forever after a week and a half, maybe 10 days of just drama filled ups and downs for this team. But the Grizzlies get it done. Not only do they get it done, they get it done against the Spurs, a divisional opponent, which is always what you want to see as well. What do the Grizzlies have to do to kind of keep this going, kind of keep the wins going, but just kind of keep the momentum going into the Heat game?
Well, I mean, I think play like they did last night, you know, like the offense was not perfect. Clearly you look up at halftime and it's, you know, like 41-32 or 41-31 or whatever, you know, what it was like low 40s to the low 30s for San Antonio. But you saw in the second half, they shot, you know, 47-48% in the second half. So as they, you know, continued to play their defense the way they did, having the intensity the entire game, you know, the offense started to pick up a little bit and, you know, some guys started making shots, you know, mainly that was, you know, Marc Gasol. Conley struggled last night, but I think the fact you look at the end of the night and you see that Conley took 19 shots and Gasol took 16 and then Jaren was third with 9, but he only played 18 minutes. So he took 9 in 18 minutes. So like every 2 minutes he's on the court, he's taking a shot. And they're a team that plays low possession games too. So, you know, I think that's what you need going forward. And, you know, clearly they need to maintain that level defensively, that level of intensity, because that's also been something, you know, we focused on, well, guys aren't making shots, nobody's scoring, Mark's not shooting the ball, but like their defense had just been slipping really, really badly over the last, you know, however many weeks it's been, especially in the second half. You know, we've talked about, you know, the Grizzlies' third quarter struggles forever and ever. And it, you know, they peaked their head again, you know, Monday night against New Orleans, where it was, you know, they're right there halftime. It's right there, you know, what, 1 point game, 2 point game. I was doing the hustle game, so I wasn't able to watch it, but I'm looking at it on my phone. And then the third quarter, it's like Pelicans have a 4 point lead. Now they have a 6 point lead. Now they have an 8 point lead. Now, and it's like, oh, this feels, I'm looking at my phone, like, this feels like it's getting away from them. And it got away from them there in the third quarter. So, yeah, I mean, I think the shot distribution, the way it was last night, that's how it needs to be going forward. You know, Gasol and Conley both need to take between 15 and 20 shots every night. And Jaren needs to take, you know, anywhere, if he's, as long as he's got the minutes. If Jaren's playing, let's say Jaren plays, let's just say he's playing 25 to 30 minutes a night. Jaren needs, you know, anywhere from 12 to 15 shots every night. So if they can have the shot distribution be like that, I think other guys will start making shots, whether that's, you know, Garrett Temple or, you know, Justin Holiday, who they recently acquired. And just, and, you know, Omri Caspi and guys like that. I think the rest of it will all start to fall into place.
Yeah, you mentioned Marc Gasol, and I said it on Thursday's show. It is no coincidence when Marc Gasol plays like that, the Grizzlies get a W. I mean, it really isn't. If you'd have thrown that game last night into a game in the middle of, at the beginning of the season.
You know, I've been complaining that Mark, you know, like, I'm like, man, Mark and Mike, why don't they pass the ball to Jaren? Like, Kyle Anderson's the only guy that passes the ball to Jaren. And it was like on one of the first possessions of the game last night, Jaren, Mark got the ball at the high post. Jaren flashed low in front of his man. Mark delivered the ball, and Jakob Poeltl fouled him. And Jaren didn't go to the line or anything. It was a foul on the floor, but it's like, cool. Like, do that, you know? Like, that option is there. So, yeah, it's just that's part of Mark leading, also saying, like, we got to get this guy more involved, too. He's going to help us. He's going to help us make us a better team. And I think if he just can continue to do that, everything just will fall into place, you know. Kyle Anderson, you know, here's one thing that, you know, from last night and from the last couple of weeks with all the drama going on, one thing that has slipped is they actually did a really good job in free agency with Kyle Anderson. I mean, that has been a great signing for them and has been a guy that's been fantastic for them, but no, as I said, for Mark, it's continuing to lead, continuing to show up every day with that same energy, ready to lead, being vocal. I mean, he was shouting at guys from the bench last night. You know, it's like Tony said, Mark and Mike need to take control of this team. And they took control of the team last night. And if they stay in control of the team and don't falter, look, they're not going to be a top five seed in the West, but they'll be a lot better than they've been the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, for sure. Kyle Anderson is so damn fun to watch play basketball, man. It's crazy. Like I think I tweet that or say that almost every game that we watch, but he's so damn fun to watch. And I don't think I said this before, but the locker room attitude last night was, and I know you were there too, but it was different. I mean, it was different. I know Mark a lot of times says it's his responsibility, but he seemed different last night. He seemed like he understood it more. And that may be just me reading into things too much, but he seemed like he understood it more. But one thing's for sure, the Grizzlies have to have a bench unit that scores a basketball. Shelvin Mack, Jamaka Green did a great job that last night. Do you take anything away from Shelvin Mack playing over Javon Carter in that just two-game stretch? And if, what does Shelvin Mack have to do to keep his backup role as the point guard?
Well, I mean, look, I'm not I think one of the good things with it last night was that he only played 16 minutes. You know, Shelvin had been playing 25 minutes when he's been out there, between 24 and 27 minutes when he's been out there, and he can't be on the court that long for you. And I'm not expecting him to go 10 points and 7 assists in 16 minutes every night. But I do think – I think what did help him is that he was getting piled on. He was getting the more the criticism than other guys were, because it was when he came into, because even throughout December when the Grizzlies were bad, when Conley and Gasol were on the floor, they were a net rating of +9, which means they lost a ton of games in that month, but those two guys on the court together were still a net rating of +9, which means when the bench came in and Sheldon came in, they were just getting mauled, like just destroyed. I think what helped them probably a couple of games off where you just get to rest. You know, it's not even about resting physically. I think that's one of the things we always talk about with rest is, you know, these guys just get to rest, get off their feet. You know, they're not playing. They get to rest their bodies. I think it's also resting their mind. You know, they get a break mentally from being out there on the court and having to, you know, especially as a point guard, having to make all these decisions and everything on the fly. I think he got a break mentally from that. I also think him sitting down, you know, and not playing much for those couple games, it also helped in the sense that it's not like they blew teams out, like they lost all the games, you know. They lost all the games. So, you know, whereas he thought, you know, whereas he probably was sitting there thinking mentally, like, am I the reason we're really getting destroyed? Am I the reason we're getting killed? And then you sit out for a couple games and you look up and it's like, no, I mean, I wasn't the reason we were getting destroyed. Like, really, I'm sitting down and we're still getting beat. So I think that does help you mentally a little bit, you know, like, okay, it's not all my fault. Like, it feels like everybody in the media and fans are saying it is. It's not all my fault. Look, but I think JB did right last night. If you're going to play Sheldon, like, you know, 13 to 16 minutes is where he needs to be at. He doesn't need to be playing a whole lot of two guard for you. Like, give those minutes to Justin Holiday and put him in the corner so he can, you know, try to knock down corner threes, because that's what he's been good at this year. You know, if you're going to play Sheldon, just keep him at point guard. He can pass the ball, which he hadn't done a great job of this year, but he did do a great job of it last night. And if you just have him in that role where he's playing the one and he's only playing, you know, a little handful of minutes here and there, then yeah, I think the team will be way better off for it. And I think Sheldon's better off playing that way.
Yeah, the Grizzlies definitely need him to step up, and really just the bench as a whole. You need, like, you know, 25, 30 points on the bench. It's not much, but you definitely need that to get more wins. And hopefully they'll do that against Miami.
Yeah, no. You're 100% right. It's one of the things I told Gary Darby on our radio postgame show last night was, I was like, you know, the bench for the Grizzlies, they didn't win last night, but they didn't get slaughtered. The Grizzlies bench got outscored. The Spurs bench outscored them like 36 to 32. Fine. Like, that's fine. Like, I think it was one game, maybe it was Brooklyn, or I think it might have been Brooklyn, where their bench got outscored like 50 to 21. Like, your bench just can't get slaughtered by 30 points, you know, like that. And that has been happening to them, where their bench has just been getting – I mean, they've just been getting mauled. And if your bench gets mauled, I mean, your starters can only do so much if your bench is coming in and losing by 20. If your bench comes in and loses by 20, then your starter's got to win by 21. You know? Yep.
No, you're right. I mean, it is something that you know, because it doesn't have to be a lot, but it's got to be something. And that, along with other things, have been some serious problems with the Grizzlies over the past few weeks. And not everything's fixed. You know, not everything was great last night. You know, they still allowed a lot of threes, but, you know, a win's a win, and you'll take it in any time you can. Again, John Roser joining me from Grind City Media. Thanks again, man. Make sure you follow John at John_Roser. I appreciate it. We'll do it again sometime soon.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks again to John Roser from Grind City Media joining me on the show. I appreciate him taking out the time on this Thursday night as we record the Friday episode. Make sure you're following the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizz. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at King_Producer. If you haven't already, go like the Facebook page, facebook.com/LockedOnGrizzlies. If you want to be a featured sponsor on this show, just email me, LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. We can talk about it. We have a great audience. We're constantly growing. So email me there to talk about maybe being a feature sponsor on this very show. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you download them, find us there, or just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.